And you think the children are just going out to go to Sunday school or to children's church. They're actually going out to forage for donuts that might have been left after Sunday school. See, if you come to Sunday school, you get coffee and donuts. And there's no extra charge for that. Okay, so. Mark 6:34 says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." There's a song that I like. It's not in our hymn books, not in either one of our hymn books. It's in one of the old Baptist hymnals that I found. But the song, the chorus of the song is what I'm really interested in. The chorus of the song says, "Be like Jesus is my song, in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus." And I hope that's the desire of your heart, that you want to be like Jesus. Oh, I know that we don't have the power that he had to do the things that he did. But I can tell you one thing that he did that we can do. We can have compassion on people. That's the thing that no one can deny he did. When he would see a large crowd, he would have compassion on them. And we'll take a look at some of the examples of Jesus' compassion and see if we can emulate that expression and proof of discipleship. Because if we are his disciples, we too should have compassion on people. Now, whenever he saw a crowd, most of the time, he would have compassion on the crowd. He would heal them. He would cleanse those who were possessed with demonic spirits. And he would meet the needs of that group. Large crowds make me a little uncomfortable because I have faced some large crowds that were not inclined to want to hear the gospel. And if you're just one individual, they can cover up what you're saying by shouting and even becoming aggressive. But Jesus didn't have that problem. When he showed compassion, he simply did something to get their attention. He would heal a needy person. He would cleanse a leper. Now, you and I can't do that because we're not Jesus. And we don't have that supernatural power. But more and more often, the modern day church, in order to get people's attention, uses the world's music. And they think that that's what people want. And yes, it is. But that's not necessarily what God wants. Can you imagine going into a church and them giving you a pair of earplugs when you walk in? And there are churches that actually do that. Can you imagine a church imagining that loud music where you can actually feel the bass notes is glorifying to the Lord or helps in a worship service? Folks, I'm so glad we sing the old hymns. Amen. I'm so glad we have some fine musicians who are totally in agreement with that. You know, Jesus had his own way of ministering. And if we are to emulate him, if we are to be his ambassadors, you and I should be like him. Sort of like the song says, I would be like Jesus. So let's examine his compassion and some of the things that he did during his ministry. But before we do, let's ask the Lord to help us understand what we mean by compassion, the compassion of Jesus. And then we'll take a look at the Word. Father, as we now look at your Word, as we now enter this part of the service where we study your Word to show ourselves workmen which needeth not to be ashamed, help us with your Holy Spirit as he moves among our hearts, our minds. Father, help us to glorify Jesus with our day-to-day lives, not just the hour that we are spending here. But Father, may we take with us from this place what you would have us be as we go out into the world. Thank you, Father, for giving us a place where we can meet that's dry, comfortable. And Father, we will praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the first mention in the New Testament where it talks about Jesus and his compassion is in actually Matthew 9, 35 and 36. Matthew 9, 35 and 36. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. That's how he got their attention. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion upon them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. I find it interesting the way that the writer of this Gospel of Matthew has stated the facts that we find recorded here. Jesus was doing what he had come to do. He was healing, he was preaching, he was teaching. But when he saw the multitudes, what did the multitudes do to trigger his compassion? Well, they fainted. That was one of the things they did. They were not able to do what their leaders, their religious leaders, were trying to get them to do. They couldn't keep all the law because the religious leaders had added all kinds of man-made things to it. So they fainted. They were as sheep without a shepherd. Now, sheep really don't need a shepherd if they're grazing in an enclosed pasture. But if they are being moved from point A to point B, they need someone to follow. And you and I we're called sheep. If we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're his sheep. And so we need to follow him from point A to point B. And who knows where that's going to take us. The Bible tells us that these people in this crowd fainted. Spiritually, they were having a problem. Spiritually, they were experiencing a problem that many churches experience today. They had pseudo-sheep. It usually came in the form of an animal about that high, with pointy ears, long teeth, and a tail, called a wolf. And moving among the churches today are wolves. Wolves that want to devour the sheep. They want to take the sheep out of the path pasture that the Lord has prepared for them, wanting to mislead the sheep. Because they've got mutton on the menu for lunch. When Jesus saw this, he responded differently than many of us would respond. He didn't get angry. He had compassion. He felt compassion for the people. And the Greek word that is used here for compassion means to have sympathy or feel pity. Now, whose fault was it that they were being misled? If a fundamental group of people who believe and live the Bible criticize other churches, they are called unloving, or they are called legalist. And that's not the point that they're trying to accomplish. They're trying to help the sheep get away from the wolves. But it's misunderstood. We're just trying to share the truth and to practice God's word. One thing that I know that Jesus didn't do was to leave them there in error. He didn't do that. He did his best to provide the truth for the benefit of the sheep. There are people that worship differently than we do. Can we cooperate with them? No, we can't, because Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? But when we find groups or people who believe as we do, they believe the truth of the gospel, we can befriend them. We can cooperate with them to a degree. But just like I said, I don't believe that noise that causes confusion or keeps you from hearing or worshiping God's still small voice of the Holy Spirit is glorifying to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. That has nothing to do with the people. It has to do with the method and the execution of the worship according to God's word. Now, Jesus was constantly teaching his disciples about what he wanted their lives to be. And he lived the way that he wanted them to live. It seems like every time he saw a crowd, he responded with compassion. Look next at Matthew 14:14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Compassion, if it is expressed, requires the one having compassion to do something to help the situation. Compassion, if it is expressed, requires someone to do something as an expression of that compassion. Let me give you an example or two. We all drive around the city, and every once in a while you'll pull up to a traffic light. You'll see somebody standing there with a cardboard sign that says, hungry, need food, will work for food, which they usually won't. I've tried. But they say that, and you pull up and you think, look at that poor man. If you're in a carpool, you got other or have other people in the car, you say, just look at that poor man. You're expressing compassion. And then the light changes and you drive on. Did you have compassion on that person? No. compassion for them, but not compassion on them. You see, compassion requires action. If you look at every place in the scripture where Jesus had compassion, he acted upon that compassion for those that he had compassion for. You see, compassion is actually more than just feeling sorry. True compassion, the kind of compassion that Jesus had, requires one additional thing. It requires love. Love. That's what compassion has to have with it before it's effective. And that's what Jesus did. Every time that the scripture says that he had compassion, he loved those he had compassion upon. And you cannot love without showing some kind of giving. We get a lot of requests here at the church from different organizations, and personally, I'm sure that you do too. You've got Wounded Warriors, you've got the DAV, you've got Easter Seals, you just get all kinds of requests in the mail. And you can have compassion for these various groups. Every time I see a Shriners Hospital ad, I have compassion for those kids, for those families. Connie and I have had close relationship with some of the kids that Shriners has helped. And I would love to give $19 a month. Some of you probably would too, but you can't afford it. Can you? If you gave $19 a month to all the organizations that are asking for $19 a month, you'd have to walk to church because you couldn't afford to buy gas. So if love requires us to do something for the person, you say, well, Brother Ken, how can I show compassion if I can't afford to do it? That's what I thought. I thought, how can I be compassionate when I can't afford to do this? And then, as I thought about that, the answer to that question, you see, compassion can be expressed in some ways that do not require our material wealth. Doesn't mean we're supposed to be stingy. If God says help somebody, we're supposed to help them. But there are other ways that we can have compassion for them. We can ask God to intervene for them. We can ask God to make it possible for that child to be helped, for that child to have a doctor that understands what their problem is and can treat that problem. Shriners does a fantastic job with children. So does St. Jude's. So do many of the hospitals. We're building a new children's hospital here in Charleston. This is going to be like a magnet drawing families with problems in. Can we have compassion on those families? Of course we can. We can pray for them. And you say, well, what other ways? We pray for them, but that doesn't show them. You can show compassion very easily. Suppose you just stop for a moment and hold the door open for the next person who's coming through. Well, how does that show compassion? You're taking your time and you're investing it in their life. It's as simple as that. See how people react when you stop and you hold the door open for them. I know my wife likes to occasionally visit Penny's. I won't tell you what the frequency of that occasionally is. But if you stop on the way into that store and you hold the door open for maybe someone else coming behind you as you're coming in, or you hold the door open for someone coming out even with packages, see how they react. Most of them, not all of them, most of them will say thank you. And you will see a smile. Because you have just invested a few seconds of your time that the Lord has given you to live on this earth in their life. So there are ways that we can begin to show compassion like Jesus showed. We don't have the ability to heal someone. We do have the ability to stop and help them. And again, what we are doing, we are proving to them our love because we are giving part of what belongs to us, and that's time. If you love someone, you will give them whatever you might have to demonstrate that you love them with. It could be time, it could be your substance, but you give something which proves that you're investing in them, you love them. Just a smile at the grocery store can be a testimony, can also be compassion. This morning, we're looking at the compassion of Jesus. Let's look at a few more scriptures that talk about the compassion that Jesus had. Matthew 15:32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And we all know the story. The disciples respond, well, how can we do this? We can't feed 5,000 people. There were 5,000 men plus women. And so they didn't think that they could in any way demonstrate the compassion that Jesus was feeling. But he knew what he was going to do. 2 fishes, 5 loaves. 5,000 men plus women and children all got fed. You see, his compassion required that he do something. Not just, you know, oh, look at that poor man with that sign, and then drive away. Matthew 20:29-34. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him, and behold, 2 blind men sitting by the wayside. When they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them, and said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? And they say unto him, Lord, that our eyes might be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Now, this is an incident that has a lot of undertones. And I stopped to think about some of what was going on here. Picture what was going on. Jesus is traveling from point A to point B. He's got his disciples with him. There are large crowds following them. And here are these 2 men, blind, begging by the side of the road. And they heard, somebody told them that Jesus was coming. They had heard somewhere that he is the Son of God. They had heard somewhere that he was able to heal people. And this is probably the only time that they were going to be in the presence of Jesus. They couldn't get around very well because they were blind. Why did the crowd want them to hush? Why didn't the crowd want them healed? You know, the crowd didn't have compassion on them. They knew they had needs. They didn't care. They didn't love them. Sometimes we get ourselves in situations where the people around us do not want us to be successful. You may have been in a job like that where someone is wanting to be more successful than you are or wanting to be more important than you are. And so they do not want you to be successful, even if it involves the will of God. Talk to people about, hey, come go to church with me. Probably over the 25 or 30 years we've been involved in ministry, I have invited people to come out to church because I didn't have the time to invest right there, or I was in an activity. And probably the first biggest lie in the world is it's in the mail, the check's in the mail. The second biggest lie in the world is, oh yeah, I'll come to church with you. But they won't. And so this crowd, I don't know if they were envious that Jesus was going to do something for these men. People do get that way sometimes. If they see you are going to succeed, they envy you or they get jealous. But there was a reason that this crowd did not want these blind men healed. And it was a selfish reason. It was because they did not have compassion. Now, as Christians, we're supposed to have compassion. Here was the Son of God in the middle of a large crowd. There was a lot of noise, and yet Jesus was listening for a chance to do something. I think he was there because he knew those two men were going to be there. God is omniscient. Jesus has the same characteristic. He is omniscient. I think he fully expected to meet those men there and meet the need that they had because of what it said. And Jesus had compassion on them. Verse 34. I'm so glad Jesus had compassion on my poor soul one night. And he let his Holy Spirit reach out to me and save me. I didn't deserve it. I don't deserve it now. But he did. Because he had compassion. And so we ought to work at having compassion. How much can God love? His love is infinite. How many people can you love at one time? Have you run out of love yet? You're not going to. The more you need, the more he's going to give you. No need to be stingy with it. Jesus had compassion, and he healed him. This crowd was not happy at all. They didn't want him to stop. You know, like I said, there are people around you who may not want to see you successful. And the reason for that is that they don't love you. And maybe they don't love you because you haven't loved them. And sometimes even if you do love them, they're not going to love you. Compassion, when coupled with genuine love, requires us to pay a cost. I'm moved with compassion, like I said, every time I see a Shriner's ad, and yet I cannot give every time I see it. But I can pray for them. And you say, well, Brother McBride, you don't know any of them. I know I don't, but God does. Just like our unspoken prayer request, I don't know how many of you might ever have had an unspoken prayer request. It is too personal or too intimate to share with somebody. And yet we need God to intercede in that situation. And so we pose the prayer request as an unspoken prayer request. And when we do that, God knows what's on our heart. God knows what's in our mind. He knows what it's going to take to meet that request. And he will meet it in his time and his way, according to his will. So I'm afraid that most of the time you and I are selective in our compassion. The easiest way to ignore a situation or someone is just don't look at them. Pretend they're not there. Ever done that? I have. And then the Holy Spirit rebukes me. Says, hey, there's something you could have done there. And you didn't. That's why I've got you here. Folks, every one of us, God has us where we are for a purpose. And that purpose is to love. Even the unlovely. Yeah, I think we are all selective in our compassion because we don't think we can afford to love somebody else. We already got all the people we need to love. That's not true. Let's look at one final passage. We're just about out of time, but one final passage, Mark 1, verses 39 through 43. Mark 1, verses 39 through 43. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And then this verse 43 says, and he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away. Jesus did two things that the average Jew wouldn't do. Well, one thing the average Jew wouldn't do. Leprosy at that time was a very contagious disease. And according to Jewish law, lepers were not supposed to be mixed in with well people or normal people. And yet here was this leper, and Jesus reached out and touched him. He wants to reach out and touch each one of you. If you don't know Jesus this morning, he's there for you. If you do know him, he's wanting you to have compassion on the people that he brings into your life. And then after he had healed the leper, he charged him, probably about the Jewish law, go show yourself to the priest and offer a sacrifice for curing of the leprosy. See, this man couldn't even be with his family. He had leprosy. Jesus touched him. Has he touched your heart? Has he touched your life? Can he fix things? I don't find anyone who he couldn't help. No one who was sick. No one who had a demon. He helped them all. So his power, it's possible for us to have that power in our lives. But we have to be willing to have compassion. And not just the kind of compassion that we talk about, but the kind of compassion that we act upon. Even if it's just a momentary prayer. Will people take advantage of you? Yes, they will. Are there people out there seeking to do that? Yes, there are. We've had people come to the church here, usually ladies, or ladies and their daughters, wanting particular kinds of help. And we don't keep cash around the church. And once in a while, my wife will let me have a little allowance, but so many times when they come in, they're wanting funds of some sort. And many's the time that I've had Connie bring them into my office and we give them what we have. We pray for them. You can do the same if you will have compassion and couple it with love. Folks, it's all about love. Let's pray. Father, we are so glad that Jesus had compassion upon us. We are so glad that your Holy Spirit goes about seeking us, calling us, causing us to be born again, causing us to be your children. And then he uses us to accomplish your will in your time. Thank you, Father, for the compassion of Jesus. Help us, Father, to emulate what he did. And help us to be good ambassadors for Christ. And Father, we will praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.